Hey guys, welcome back to this week's episode of Millennial Mirrors, a discussion on millennial life in the Middle East. Our episode today is about impact, what it is, and how do we make it. With the hyper-connected world we live in, it has never been easier to see people around the world making an impact and feeling inspired by them. But it can also lead us to feeling like we're not making a difference with our lives. I see that a lot when I'm doing job interviews and I ask people why they want to leave their current job. A lot of the time I get, because I don't feel like I'm making a difference, or, you know, I'm not making an impact. And then when I ask them the next question, which I would normally ask, which is, what difference or impact do you want to make? I get the answer, usually, I don't know. So here to talk to us about impact is a guest who has made an impact and continues to do so, Omar Ashenar. Hello, Omar. It's great to have you on the episode.
Well, thank you for having me.
For those of you who don't know you, why don't you tell us a little bit more about yourself and what, and a little bit more about your new project?
Sure. So I'm a veteran corporates person. I've worked in Dubai, Abu Dhabi. I've also worked in Singapore for about 3 years. So I've worked in the corporate world, both in the Middle East and outside. I have about 22 years of experience, of which approximately the last 10 years was at CEO level. So I reached the top, and I think the conversation that we're having today is actually very appropriate, because it is one of the main reasons that actually took me to the next leg of my life. And I decided to drop all that because of purpose and try and understand. So I think it is very appropriate. Which leads me actually to something I just recently launched, which is Jasur. Jasur is a social enterprise on a mission to help grow the creative industry in the region.
So let's start broad and Sure. Then we can kind of dig in.
Let's do that.
So let's start with, what does making an impact mean to you?
Okay. I think the answer to that has to always be followed with at your current stage in life.
Okay.
You know, true. Because I think purpose and impact is actually not a static target. You know, if you asked me when I was 14, I would have told you something, I'm sure, completely different. I would have told you, yes, you know, I want to make a difference. I want to do something for my people, my community, my country. I'm very passionate about giving back, and I'm sure it would have been a version 1.0. And, you know, at 21, it would be another, and at 25, it would be something else. At 30, it would be really different.
Yeah.
At 45, with about 22 years of professional corporate experience, I think I am in a position to efficiently articulate it.
Okay.
And properly execute against it, using everything that I have learned working with the government, private sector, and everything there. So currently what it means to me to make a social impact is, in my mind, this is two parts, but it comes down to one, which is prosperity. You know, when I set up Jasur, in effect, if you really look at it, is to actually bring prosperity to the region. And the way it does that is by it addresses the funding cycle in the creative industry, because the creative industry is actually one of the main drivers of economic growth in other countries, in most developed countries, actually. It constitutes about 3% of GDP mm-hmm. in developed world.
Okay.
Talking about the Western world, of course. If you look at the Middle East, it doesn't even show as a blip on the radar. And,
oh, okay.
And this is why I set up Jasur, to actually be able to quantify where we are now and develop roadmaps.
So I want to go back to a point you mentioned about the fact that like purpose and impact are not necessarily something that are fixed for your whole life. And the fact that you shouldn't necessarily, I think...
Did I give away my age?
You did. You said it very specifically.
Oh, my God. Okay, backtrack.
45, for those of you who didn't hear it the first time around.
Yes. Fake news. All right.
So in terms of, I guess, holding on to it, or when do you know when when your impact, when it's time to, for example, I guess, shift your impact or shift your purpose, or when do you, I guess, know if you're holding on too tight to an impact or it's time to let it go?
Sure. I mean, I think that's a very good question. And, you know, it took some soul searching, which is always good. Traveled to London, walked for a couple of days, logged. Actually, I'd never done that in my life, but I logged at one point 38 kilometers per day. It was just, it was just a lot of walking. But to cut a long story short, I think the main objective is, if you look at it from my perspective, is the ability to conduct and do what you want to do, knowing that your financial obligations are taken care of. So in my case, I have other sources of income. So I'm not relying on Jasur to pay the rent, per se, or look after my financial obligations. As a result, I'm able to structure it in a manner to execute its core objectives and its core mission, and having the financial prosperity as a close second. So had I not, to be very frank, had I not had that second income stream, which is, you know, companies I set out a long time ago with my partners, I don't think I would have been able to do what I want to do now, and I would have still been in my job.
So you're a ducks in a row kind of guy before you...
well, actually, it was completely coincidental.
Okay.
But the fact that I did have a second income allowed me to actually say, you know what? I need to think about, you know, my purpose, and I need to think about why I'm doing what I'm doing, and be able to articulate that. And I finally did after several days of walking. I was able to bring it down to two simple things. In my case, which answers the first question you asked.
Yeah.
In my case, my making a positive impact is, for me, I decided to only do things that would add value and help the community.
All right.
And or do things that add value to myself.
Okay, so I'm going to go on from that a bit. But like, you've got your ducks in a row in terms of, I guess, your financial situation.
Yeah.
But considering our culture and, you know, and things like that, and considering the fact that you, like you said, were at a sea level and you kind of, you were in the health industry, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, sure.
And then making a complete switch from there to go into the creative
industry. Sure.
Weren't you worried people were going to be like, he's gone mad, kind of?
Well, I think that's a loaded loaded question, because any answer I give would actually indicate that probably I have. I don't know. But no, I have not.
Anything you say here can and will be held against,
against you. I think the fact of the matter is there's two parts to this, right? When you are at a sea level, and I've been a CEO for about 10 years, and before that I was a CFO, and before that I did, you know, when you work for the government, you just do everything.
Right.
I was, you know, at one point chief sales and marketing officer, so I just did the whole suite. So I think one of the things that the skills that arms you with is ability to very quickly maneuver into wherever I need to be. Mm-hmm. So at one point I could be thinking, okay, finance. And then I switch and I can be thinking, okay, marketing. Mm-hmm. I need to think about the launch. I need to think about resources. I need to think about HR. So the ability to organize and collate. Matter of fact, at one point I was CEO of a healthcare division in EMR, and they came to me and said, listen, we need you to be interim CEO for the education business. So unrelated to healthcare, and yet I was able to turn around because I had the fundamentals. And that's what I was trying to say in the beginning.
Right.
All these years of experience has armed me with the skills and the network to be able to effect the change in the pace that I wanted to effect.
Okay. I hear a lot from what you're saying about how the years of experience have equipped you to now make an impact.
Sure.
Do you feel like people should wait until, I guess, they're well-equipped to make an impact? Or do you think, for example, if you're talking to someone who's, I don't know, a 25-year-old or someone who's, you know, just starting their career, do you think they can make an impact in the place they are now? Or do you think it's one of those things where, no, you have to kind of gather your tribe, you have to gather your resources, get your experience before you kind of, like, jump in and make an impact, if you will?
So, I mean, I think there are many people that may impact at a very young age.
Right.
Right? So I don't think it's necessarily a matter of experience. Mm-hmm. But you know, addressing that, Mark Zuckerberg, I mean,
yeah,
you know, he changed the face of, you know, social media and everything else and data privacy, I guess. But, you know, a lot of these people were able to do it. And we hear about people that are 16, that are 18, that have done change and that have done a lot of good things. Mm-hmm. And I guess globalization, like you pointed out, allowed them to get to a wider audience very quick.
Mm-hmm.
I think we hear about the 10% or we hear about the 5%. But
right.
I think what people don't realize is there is another 95% that failed.
Right.
Yeah, so I think what we finally see and what filters through, I mean, how many Mark Zuckerbergs were there? There must have been a lot.
Right.
But we just heard about, you know,
the success stories. Right.
In the internet bubble, there was tons and tons and tons of people and billions of dollars that just vaporized because
right.
they did not have a proper business plan. So I guess I would caution people in that when we look at successes mm-hmm. to also learn from the mistakes of others. If somebody is at a younger age and they want to effect change, I mean, you know, their job is not necessarily where they may want to effect that change.
Okay.
Right? So if they're an accountant in a retail store and they think to themselves, gosh, I wonder what purpose I'm serving. There's always after hours and they can always go and volunteer. The UAE has set up a very good volunteer program and inshallah mm-hmm. that will be running across the GCC as well. And that's just one, you know. There are tons and tons. So being part of an enterprise that effects change, social change, positive social change, is just as good as leading one.
Yeah.
And I think it's always a good follow-through. And I think if many people at a younger age maybe lack the experience and they think to themselves, you know what, I want to make impact. And when I do it, I want to be successful at it. It might make sense for them to go on the field and volunteer and
right.
understand the essentials of some of these causes and how they're structured and some of these social enterprises and how they're structured. And then, you know, learn from that and go visit these different types. And
no, I think you make a very good point because I see a lot of and I hear a lot of unsatisfied young people who are just like,
sure.
and they're unsatisfied because with their career because they feel like they're not necessarily making a difference or they're not feeling fulfilled. But I don't think they realize that you can be making a difference and find fulfillment outside of your career. It doesn't necessarily. Sometimes you have to have a 9-to-5. You have to pay the bills. You have
yeah,
responsibilities.
Of course, right.
That's just the way the cookie crumbles. But you can be trying to do things outside of work. And I think a lot of people don't necessarily look to that to kind of balance out what they're doing in their career. And a lot of them are like, why am I not, I don't feel like I'm making a difference in this company. And I'm like, you graduated 6 months ago. Realistically, what impact are you trying to have on, you know, a billion-dollar organization? Like, they're not, what are you expecting
right here
from this organization to give you that you feel like you're going to make a huge impact? Some organizations do lend themselves to that because they have huge CSR programs and, you know, the youth volunteer and that, but that's not necessarily always the case. And I feel like you have to sometimes adjust your expectations as an employee or as a, you know, as a young person.
First of all, I'd like to say that many organizations are progressive enough to be able to say, you know what, we will have sort of like monthly brainstorming sessions where they get ideas and these ideas actually percolate into something much bigger.
Mm-hmm.
And the leadership allows ideas to be sponsored by people very low in the echelons of the chain of command.
Right.
And as long as it's a good idea and they can execute it, then perfect. As a matter of fact, when I was in Majlis Taim, that's something that they did quite successfully. So I think I was very blessed to be working there
mm-hmm.
At that point in time. And it was an organization that actually ran these competitions internally to really take ideas and foster them and let the people that actually developed it run with it for a while and develop it into hopefully something bigger. So I think maybe when some of these young people look at that And they're like, gosh, you know, well, I wish we can have that in my company. Yeah. I wish we can do that where I am. And maybe that's why they want to jump ship, mm-hmm. right? And they want to say, you know what? This company doesn't allow me to express myself. And they re-articulate it as, well, you know, I want to make a difference. And okay, fine. But there's no avenue to make a difference where I currently work. And I want to come to this organization because, you know, they have this program that does 1, 2, 3, 4. And I just mentioned Mind of Flame because it's first-hand experience. I was there and I saw them roll it out. I'm sure many other organizations have it. You know, Emirates Airlines, I think, have some. I think EMAR. I'm mentioning just the big ones. But yeah. There are also some medium enterprises that do that. So I think maybe that is the first thought, mm-hmm. that sometimes they want to go to some place a bit more dynamic. Mm-hmm. And they're trying to express that, and you know, words fail them. Yeah. And the best way they can do it. So that's one point. Second point, I think, you know, I've always been taught when I was in the corporate world, and especially in government. I mean, you mm-hmm. asked me where I studied. Yeah, I studied in the U.S. But if you ask me really where I was quote unquote educated and where I was molded, it was in government of Dubai, yeah. Where I worked. Okay. And the leadership always taught us that you shouldn't wait. Mm-hmm. And you shouldn't outsource the solution to other people. In other words, if I have an idea or if I have something, I shouldn't just wait for the leadership to say, you know what, we're going to have this program. No, you take it, you run with it, you work on it, you put it in document, you go to your boss or you go to his boss or you go to the group CEO and you say, you know what, this is an idea, you guys want to do it, you know, it's good, you don't want to do it. Whatever, but at least you've created that possibility to effect change. And that's something I'm actually instituting in Jasur itself, that whole concept, which is every, you know, once in a month people take, paid. It's not like I ask them to come after hours, but during paid hours, they take mm-hmm. they take a break and they stop and they begin to ideate new ideas mm-hmm. on two streamlines. One is new ideas and concepts that can be implemented to help grow the creative industry. And on other side, it's how can we make this community and this country and make this a better place for our people? So yep. our CSR runs that way. So, but I think those are the two things. One is articulating their frustrations.
Yeah.
And the second benchmark would be, you know, you don't have to have that program. You know, take the initiative. I would really yeah. urge younger people to actually, any age actually, just yeah. to take the initiative and do it themselves.
I love how we keep saying younger people. Yeah. Like we're like these dinosaurs that are sitting I'm here not. Like, in our day.
Yeah, in our day.
But no, I really like that point. I think the whole concept of waiting for someone to give you permission to make an impact or waiting yeah. for someone to you permission to make a difference is the wrong attitude to have. If you want to make an yeah. impact, if you want to make a difference,
don't outsource it.
You have to actually
yeah.
be a bit own more it. Gung-ho about it and own it rather
Absolutely.
Than just sitting there and hoping someone's going to allow you.
Absolutely. In a matter of fact, Jasur, just coming back on this very quickly, mm-hmm. Jasur actually is that.
Yeah.
I wanted to make an impact that would add prosperity and grow jobs. And I was thinking to myself, you know what? I don't think I should look to anybody to solve that. And mm-hmm. if it's in my hand to solve it and my capacity to solve it, then I will in what little way I can.
So let's talk about that for a second. So
sure.
what made you, because a lot of people say they want to make a difference, they
sure.
want to make an impact,
sure.
but they're
sure.
not sure what impact they want to make.
Sure.
So what drew you specifically to the creative industry and to
sure.
Jasur specifically? What was the driver or the inner pull there?
So the secret actually is in the sauce.
Okay.
As usual, right? So the creative industry, upon research, I told you I wanted something that was either good for my community and my people
yeah.
or good for myself. So it was private business. And in this case, I could either, at least in my mind, think about, okay, well, I can give, contributions to the needy and stuff like this. And
mm-hmm.
that would help a certain strata of society.
Right.
Going back on all my experiences, especially with the government when I worked there and being able to understand how, and this is why I told you my experience helped me.
Yeah.
Being able to actually understand how the economy works and what are the drivers. And the drivers are actually jobs. And the more jobs that can be created, you know, quicker,
yeah.
The more prosperity comes to society. So from my perspective, I thought to myself, the best way to actually make a positive impact is help contribute positively to society,
mm-hmm.
in the form of new job creations, in the form of new, in the form of value, value add. So if you look at, for example, in the UK specifically, mm-hmm. in the UK, the creative industry grew at from 2000, I think it was 2015 to 2016.
Yeah.
2016 to 2017, it grew approximately. The creative industry grew 44%. So the GVA, the gross value add, grew 44% versus the gross value add of the entire economy grew only about 22.5%. So you're talking about always 8 sectors only, mm-hmm. that can very rapidly create jobs. 1 out of every 11 job in the UK is in the creative economy.
So what I love about what you're saying here is the fact that for you, it was a studied decision.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't like you understood the difference that you wanted to make, and then you're like, okay, how do I go about this?
Exactly.
And you studied it, and you were like, okay, yeah. So I'm going to go about it through the creative industry.
Yeah.
And I think the mistake a lot of people make is they expect this, like, magical inspiration to come to them about impact they want to make.
No, no.
Or to have an aha moment and be like, oh, I found my passion, and this is the impact that I want to make.
No.
And it's not necessarily the case.
No.
Sometimes it is a studied and thought out decision, which I think is a very nice reality check to give a lot of people.
And don't get me wrong, I'm very passionate about the arts and culture and design, you know, but to be very frank, the creative industry is more than that.
Yeah.
It also involves advertising.
Mm-hmm.
It involves architecture. There are things there, publishing. I'm not a writer.
Mm-hmm.
Specifically, and
involves podcasts. Just saying,
it does involve podcasts. So, in a matter of fact, you know, we were just talking about some of the other, you know, we're here in the UAE, but we're talking about some of the other countries that don't have a beautiful studio like the one we're in. And the question that we ask ourselves is why? What stops them? Right.
Right. Yeah.
So hopefully, if we do our job correctly, we, inshallah, will have something as beautiful as this. It's a very beautiful studio. I have to tell the audio master over there looking at me. Thank you.
Yeah, I know. This is actually a pretty cool place. So here is a question for you. Like we spoke, we're in a very hyper-connected world.
Yeah.
And people are always seeing what others are doing.
Yeah.
We gave, you know, Zuckerberg as an example. What effect do you think this has on people, more specifically, and we're going to keep using this, the younger people.
The younger people, like me, right?
Yeah, like you.
Yeah,
I mean,
thank you.
What has this? What effect has this had on you?
Well, okay. I think I'd like to take a step back and say what impact this has for people across. Because, you know, I think the right to make a change is there for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've come across people that are 55, that are 60,
yep.
that I began making an impact at that age.
Yep.
So I think it's important to note that. So in order to make change,
mm-hmm.
you must have a cause,
okay.
right? And you must have an effect.
Right.
All right. Hopefully that effect is positive, right?
Yeah. So one would hope.
One would hope. So in order to do any activity where there is a cause and there is an effect, you need a distribution channel and you need an audience
mm-hmm.
and you need a cause. The audience to rally around that cause and effect that change, because you know, one person by themselves, it is quite challenging. Unless
to find your
to find your tribe, right?
Yeah.
So I think what social media has done
mm-hmm.
is that it has given everybody the mic.
Mm-hmm.
Really, everybody has the ability to reach audiences of millions. So that's the positive,
mm-hmm.
right? I think the negative is that there are so many people
yeah.
that now have got a mic
yeah.
that somebody would not know whether to help this cause or that cause, because we're getting flooded, right?
Yeah.
With you know, world-changing ideas, that where do you really, you know, execute, right? Where do you really want to give your time and your effort, right, and your attention and everything else? Is it with somebody in another country? Is it somebody here? And even here, there's so many people having causes. And so I think, frankly speaking, I think there is both.
So when everything's a choice.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, exactly.
It's so too, I think, hard to make a choice.
Well, I mean, I think there's so much noise out there.
Yeah.
And so many people want to make a difference. And there are so many initiatives that come out and fizzle out.
Yeah.
That if you do not have a sustainable sustainable plan, mm-hmm, you do not have sustainable funding, you do not have a sustainable plan or a plan to actually be able to reach out to the masses, then you're just another blip in one of the many blips.
Okay.
So I would.
That's
I would,
not depressing at all.
Well, actually, I think. Thank you. I didn't mean to come across as depressing, but I guess the idea is that one should be conscious that just because they have a cause that they may feel very passionate about, mm-hmm, the world will not give them a mic and will go quiet just to hear them out.
Okay.
They have to, as in business, compete with all the other causes.
And you have to have drive.
And you have to have drive, right?
You have to have scale, drive, because you're going to have to be able to,
yep,
to go across. Okay, so then, I guess, how do you, jumping off that point, yeah, how do you know if you're a blip or if you're finally making an impact? What are the signs that you're finally making an impact to you?
Well, I mean, look, I think the way a person will know whether they're making a blip or whether they are making an impact,
yep,
is it depends on how they set themselves up.
Okay.
So in other words, if one were to say that, you know what, my social cause is to, as an example, mm-hmm, I'm just going to make an example here, is to help heal or treat the needy. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So as an example, and they used to do this. My sister is a plastic surgeon. So they used to go overseas to these small villages, and they used to treat cleft lips,
yeah,
right? So they used to come and do surgery for cleft lips. And that was part of that cause that they did. Now, you know, I think if they treat one or two people, you know, that in itself, the ability to think large scale and think small scale and say, you know what, I made a difference in a person's life.
Mm-hmm.
Is that enough? Right. And that should be enough. I think when a person gets content with impacting one person, I think they will be able to see the joy in that and be able to receive their emotional fulfillment rather than, okay, you know what, I want to change the world.
Mm-hmm.
You might be let down.
Right.
Yeah, because you know, a world that's like a couple of billion people.
Right.
Yeah. So so the first thing is when one comes to set up these things, I think it's important to understand the ability to think large scale and small scale.
Okay.
So that's the first thing.
Okay.
Second of all, you know, I think you will know very quickly, because the minute you run out of funding, you know, your progress will slowly trickle, because, you know, a lot of things, fine, yeah, you can get some sponsorship, but you know, it depends on how you set yourself up. So financial feasibility, it might be a for-profit or a not-for-profit social enterprise,
mm-hmm,
but at the end of the day, you have to hire people. Otherwise, you will still be a one-man or one-person army. And I think in order to achieve speed and scale, you need to hire and you need to have people with you on your cause. You can't bootstrap it forever, right?
So that brings me to another point, because you were talking about, you know, making a difference in one person's life,
sure,
versus on a large scale. And we've been talking quite a bit now about kind of, I guess, organized impact, if you will.
Yes.
But what about impact on a personal level?
Sure.
Does impact always have to be on an organized scale, or can you make an impact on a personal level? Like if you are raising a family, or if you're just kind of, you know, a good person who helps out your friends a lot. Is
sure.
that kind of enough of an impact?
Well, I mean, I think it's personal.
Yeah.
I think it's personal. And I think there is a certain level of experience that one has to have. For me, personally speaking, whether I make an impact on 100 people or 1,000 people or one person, I am content.
Yeah.
Yeah? So I don't have these ambitions to say, okay, you know what, I need to make an impact on X number of people. And, I know deep inside that what I have set out on mm-hmm. will make impact, because some of the tasks within and some of the activities and the activity streams and the programs that we're doing will invariably achieve that. So, for example, one of the things that we're going to be doing is we're actually going to be having events where we bring artists and they can showcase their products and, mm-hmm. And sell their products. So if an artist mm-hmm. or a creative has the opportunity, a new opportunity to do that, mm-hmm. then I have achieved, as far as I'm concerned, some level of impact. And
yeah,
so I think the answer to that is very personal to everybody.
Yeah.
And for me, I've reached a point in my life that I'm content with just making a change or making a difference for one person. I'm fine with that.
No, I completely agree. I think
I'm planning for larger, but naturally, I am still happy.
I think if you want to kind of be happy with the impact you're trying to make, no matter what that impact is,
sure.
I feel like you really have to remove ego out of it. And sure. You have to be aware whether it's your need to make an impact or your need to have like
yeah,
to fulfill your purpose
absolutely.
Is what's talking, or if it's your ego. Because I feel like in my 20s, I had all these like Zuckerbergian dreams of
really?
What impact I wanted
global,
to, like, you know.
Global domination.
Yes, you know.
The internet.
The empire.
The
was
empire
good
strikes
and all,
back,
and the
right?
impact and all
wow.
that kind of stuff. And then, like,
sure.
as you kind of mature and as you kind of realize what's important to you and what impacts you as a person.
Sure.
And as a human being, you kind of realize what's the impact that you want to have.
Yeah.
And you start realizing that a lot of the time, what you thought you wanted to do wasn't necessarily you talking. It was a lot of outside influences, it was, you know,
yes,
your
yes,
ego,
yes, yes,
it was
yes,
all
yes,
those
absolutely,
kinds of
absolutely,
things.
Absolutely.
And I think, 100%. Like you said, it's very personal. And when you realize that it's personal, and when you realize that you have to look inwards to figure out
yeah.
what impact you want to make, it becomes a lot more, I guess, authentic. And you stop caring whether it's the 100 people or the
yeah.
one person.
I mean, I'll give you a perfect example. So when I was talking about Jasur and stuff, and people would come to me and say, who is your competition? And I'm like, dude, listen, there is no competition. I'm not really looking for competition. I'm just looking to help grow the creative industry. So technically speaking, if my quote-unquote competition does that,
mm-hmm.
then good. I have at least fueled his urge for speed.
Okay.
So as far as yeah. I'm concerned, I had that. And they're like, no, but wait. You must have a competitor. I'm like, dude, I think you missed the point, you know. For me, effecting positive change, I've reached a point in my life. For me, effecting positive change is what I want to do. And if somebody else is, or another entity that is, quote-unquote, have the same services as myself, do that, then, you know, good.
Okay.
I would be more than happy. So I think, coming back to your point, there
yeah.
is a certain level of I think a person must be in a particular point to have the right frame of mind
mm-hmm.
to understand, you know, are they the lead changer, or are they more interested in the impact, or are they more interested in being on the cover of Time
yeah.
as the person that made? And that goes back to ego. So for me, I really couldn't care less.
I think it also goes to experience. I think, like you said, and if you try out different things, if you volunteer when you get a chance, if you do this, if you do that, you'll figure out what's the kind of impact that you're looking for and what you need out of it. If you're
sure.
okay being a volunteer,
yeah.
or if, like you said, you want to be the person who's in charge, all these things come with trying it out, flexing your,
yeah, and
your kind of
works.
Your experience
what
and trying
works.
To figure out
what works for you.
And
by the way, there may be a cause already that, you know, let's say, for example, somebody comes and says, you know what, I want to do something to bring awareness about thalassemia.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there are some entities out there.
Yeah.
You want to do that, why don't you join them? And you
yeah.
can achieve it. Unless you want to be the one who saved the world. That's something I think that's very personal to everybody, and I think that's something that that people will define for themselves. So, and in my opinion, by the way, there's no right or wrong. I just want to be very clear. I just want to be able to bring prosperity to whoever.
Amazing.
In the region, yeah.
Okay, well, thank you, Amlif, so much for joining us.
Is that it?
That's it, yeah.
No.
Yeah.
I got so much more to say.
You've got so much more to say? Well, then maybe you can come back for another episode. We've got more topics and subjects to cover.
I got to tell people that I'm a Libra. Can I tell them that?
You can tell them that, sure.
I'm a Libra.
I'm
a cusp, actually. I'm on the Libra Scorpio cusp. Can I say that?
Sure.
Really?
And what does that say about you, Amlif?
Okay.
And
well,
he likes long talks.
Yeah, exactly.
Long walks
like
on the beach.
Long talks and like, walks on the beach. Mishari, thank you so much for having me.
It's been amazing having you here. Where can people find out more about you and about Jasur online?
Well, Jasur, they can go to the website, and
which is
it's www.jasur. That's JSOOR.ME. Right, so
it'll be in the description.
It'll be in the description if you look at it. I think there they'll have an understanding of what we do, how we hope to achieve it, and also more idea about the creative industry. So we're going to start, profiling artists and profiling, so they'll get a chance to see what the creative industry in this region is all about.
Amazing. Okay. So thanks to everyone for listening. Be sure to subscribe to the podcast if you haven't already on iTunes, SoundCloud, YouTube, or wherever you're listening to this. We'll be releasing a new episode every week. Also, please leave a comment. Let me know what you think. If you have any questions or if there are any subjects or topics that you think we should cover on this podcast. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Mishari Alanese. Links for everything are in the episode description. And that's it. Bye, guys, and stay safe.
Bye, guys.